I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In 2017, the world endured one of the greatest injustices of all time when filming of the third installment of the Sex and the City movies was abruptly and inexplicably shut down. Months later, here we sit, reeling from a lack of closure and struggling with questions that we'll never be able to answer. Living in a world where we're so callously robbed of the final chapter we all deserved is something I simply cannot stand for. Therefore, I, Lara Marie Shainhalls, am taking matters into my own hands, and I'm saving Sex and the City 3. Welcome, listeners, to Saving Sex and the City 3, the podcast with me, Lara Marie Shainhalls, and a fabulous guest where we reimagine the movie Sex and the City 3 and make it a reality. Please welcome to this
stage.
Yeah, please welcome to the stage.
I just had you because I'm with you.
Please welcome to the stage my friend, Carrie O'Donnell.
Hi again.
I'm really excited about this. You're so funny.
I'm so excited and grateful that you think I'm funny.
SATC head.
I am.
And I just knew you'd be a perfect person to have on the show.
Well, I'm both nervous and excited.
Same.
I feel like we're in kind of like a experimental college like workshop right now. So
it's like a happening.
It is. It's a happening.
It's a true happening.
So I'm hoping that I can live up to your caliber of SATC. Like,
I have no caliber. I just have like a burning desire for more Sex and the City content. And so that's why this is happening. Cause I need, if we can't get Sex and the City 3, I'm going to create Sex and the City
and star
3.
In it.
Yeah, and star in
as
it.
As every
and,
character.
Yeah, and this is now how I give myself the gift of this movie that was ripped cruelly from our hand. Like, truly one of the most overlooked things in 2017, because it was such a shit, horrible year.
I know.
Was the fact that Sex and the City 3 was to the point of being greenlit, like,
ready
about
to
be shot, ready to go, and then just canceled.
KC.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I just need to say, like, we need it more than ever because Sex and the City is, like, cathartic for me in a way. Like, I literally, probably every third day of my life, I, like, watch a clip from it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, yesterday I watched Miranda in the bra changing room with the clerk after her mom's funeral.
That's
emotional scene. Yeah, when she's, like, and Miranda realized she'll never have another fight with her mom. Mm-hmm. And then the woman became her mother for a moment. Like,
and they hugged.
I need those moments.
Yeah, I need it.
I watched one today too before I came over.
It's great. It's the best show ever.
It really is.
I had a dream this morning during like a toss and turn of fitful slumber that Sex and the City 3 was actually happening. I dreamed that the big reveal was at the Super Bowl and all the girls showed up together in a golf cart, like during halftime. And that was how they announced that like the feud was over and Sex and the City 3 was actually happening after all.
I mean,
and I was like, fuck, how am I going to do this podcast if Sex and the City 3 is actually a thing?
That would happen if the president was not who he was. Mm-hmm. Like, that's in another alternate. That's
an alternate universe.
That's alternate where the 2016 election was very different. Mm-hmm. Maybe that could have happened.
Yeah, I do blame Trump, actually, for Sex and the City 3 not
happening.
Why not? Yeah.
Just fucking do it.
Yeah, add it to the list.
Can you imagine, like, that's literally, that is pure gay America dreams, like to have at the Super Bowl for the
the
gals.
This year's Super Bowl show is just Sarah Jessica Parker, Kim Cattrall, Cynthia Nixon, and Kristen Davis arriving in a golf cart, hiding, and then all popping up at once, and then a sign went Sex in the City 3, and everyone went crazy, and I was like,
you hear it,
I teared up like
in an
dream.
Orchestra.
Yeah. And then can you Fergie imagine? Can sing.
And then Fergie can come home.
Okay, let's get into let's go there. I'm excited to see what you came up with. So, the way this works for anyone that's just tuning in is that I have a guest on the show. I ask them to come with a log line or a premise for the movie Sex in the City 3. And then we just beat it out.
Okay.
So.
Well, yeah. I've divided it into four.
Okay,
obviously.
Great. Absolutely.
So these are my plots for each of our girls.
Okay.
So, forgive me. These are a little poorly written, but.
No.
After Big buys a fourth property in Manhattan, Carrie goes into an emotional tailspin. This is for the whole.
Yeah.
Like.
For the whole movie.
Quoting, this is our love arc. 1/4 of what it used to be? So that's, of course, that's her
dilemma.
That's
a real, a real concern.
So this is Samantha. A new technology allows you to upload part of your consciousness into a computer, and a very bored Samantha tries it out, creating a digital likeness of herself that at first she resents, but soon falls in love with.
I love that.
So Charlotte and Harry move to Montclair, an upscale suburb in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte is struggling to navigate small town life while sparring with a particularly cruel PTA mom.
Okay.
Trying to win her approval.
Yeah.
Disconnected, out in the burbs. Mm-hmm. But Montclair, for anyone, is a very nice suburb. I'm from Jersey, so it's like very like NYC suburb aspirational bedroom community shit.
Love that.
Very, very Charlotte, I feel like. And then finally, Miranda opens a summer camp in the Catskills with Steve that's actually built on an Indian burial ground and endures a maze of psychological and body horror.
It tests their marriage more than anything.
So,
it's like Poltergeist.
Yeah. So these are my four, like, this is what's happening in my movie. Mm-hmm. So they're all, you know, obviously they're all in very different places, some physically or just, you know, emotionally, but I think, so we can go into it.
Yeah, let's get
into
it.
Okay, so how do you feel about this?
I feel like this is a really, like, interesting place where we would find Carrie, and she would, like, because in Sex and the City 2, she was, like, a little bitch in that movie.
Horrible.
She literally was, like, had the best apartment ever, like, this guy, the love of her life, who's, like, just wanting to be with her and be cozy and snuggly, and
terrible.
She's, like, throwing a fit about everything. So, it really tracks that she would, like...
Take out.
Yeah, be really upset and, like, triggered by a fourth Manhattan property.
Right? Well, that's
real estate.
Yeah, so I'm trying to keep it true to form. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all... Like, the rest... I feel like, as it was in the show, the rest of the women always have actual... crazy problems.
Yeah.
Not crazy, but life problems.
Life problems.
That they're dealing with is very human. Carrie is always like...
She creates her own problems.
She creates her own horror and her own, you know... Her life is not difficult, but she needs to make it difficult.
Yeah.
Because that's all
she
has.
So do you think she goes that, like, she's like... Fuck that. Like, I'm so upset about this apartment. Like, I cannot get over it. So she goes to, like, stay with one of the other girls. I'm imagining she goes to New Jersey to, like, hang with Charlotte.
Yeah, it's like Goldilocks, kind of. Like, she goes to each of them while they're dealing with their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Big might not even, like, here's the thing. And Big is not saying that he's moving in. He just is, like, just for real estate purposes.
Yeah.
Like, it's good. And Carrie takes that as... Oh, like
you're moving out.
You're moving out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, that's not what I said at all. And she completely invents this false narrative. I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Right?
She's like, now you have your other apartment. I guess you don't need our
I guess you
anymore.
Have another family.
Yeah.
And then she starts speculating if he has another family.
Oh, yeah. She's like his secret family.
His secret family, which is like a great motif in culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like not even a secret family, just like, that he has like a girlfriend or like, you know,
that the apartment is actually for Natasha.
Natasha.
Yeah.
There's clues
leading Carrie to believe that the apartment is where Natasha is going to reside as Big's mistress.
Right.
And that all her like karmic retribution is going to come back to her. What once again,
that's something that maybe I should have elaborated on more. Maybe Natasha, there's some clue, something. She sees her because she's been gone from New York a lot, and you know, right? She's in Paris.
Yeah,
or,
Natasha. Like,
she's been traveling.
Really
a lot.
Lost track of her after her terrible fall down the staircase.
Right.
But Natasha's back, more gorgeous than ever. Her new teeth are fabulous.
Carrie keeps running into her in Manhattan. Yeah. And she's
might see her at like a fashion show.
And she hides from her, of course, because, you know, she's like hiding behind. Natasha probably doesn't even give a fuck. But like,
maybe Natasha is like a writer now. And Natasha is writing, like, wrote some viral article for Vogue
about,
that was published in the magazine and online about how.
And online.
About the affair that she and Big had.
Yeah, maybe.
Or about the affair that Carrie and Big had that ruined her life, but it gave her like an opportunity to start over. And like,
she had like an Eat, Pray, Love journey.
Yeah, and everyone knows about
it. And she has a book. She has a book deal now.
Now she has a book deal. And like, Carrie's like flipping out about it.
And
that.
It's like rumored to be like upwards of like the upper six figures. Yeah. Like crazy book deal. And it was written about in like Page Six. Mm-hmm. And Carrie's just freaking out about
it. Meanwhile, Big like buys this apartment. She's like, oh my God, he's like leaving me, or like Natasha's moving in.
This is yes. So it's, I mean,
I love, yeah, because that would throw her.
Yeah, it would throw her for like a tizzy. And she's, you know, she's seeing.
And maybe
mind
people
you, the
are
book,
turning on her.
But in her head, but maybe slightly in actuality.
But I think people would know, like, in the community of fashion and New York a little bit.
They know about.
Like, oh, we know about. I mean, even though Carrie and Big are together now,
the
they
face.
Know about what happened.
Remember the face?
Yeah.
The character, you know, what's her, Nadia Dajani's character, who makes the face. So she, maybe she's that character. What is that character? What is her character in the show?
I can't
name?
Remember. She was like an SNL.
She was an SNL
person.
Cast. Yeah.
So
and she. So maybe that character comes back or another like form of that. Like And here's the thing: is
there could be a parody of like the article, Natasha's viral article, like gets to such like public knowledge that like there's a parody of it on SNL. Triggering Carrie even more. She's
God.
Like, people hate me. Like, what have I done?
And Natasha, but here's the thing, her book's actually good.
It's great.
It's actually good.
It's a New York Times bestseller.
It's good
it
writing.
It rises the charts. It's actually really good writing and smart and like different than Carrie. And so Carrie's having like a full blown identity.
Yeah, she had like a, Natasha had like a full breakdown that like this just triggered it. And like she went into like a moment of darkness and like despair, suicidal maybe.
Yeah, she went to like a probably a mental institution for like a year or something and had to like fully recover. And now she's like writing about it. 10 or 15 years later and people are living for
they're
it.
Dying and Carrie just and
there
it
are billboards
off,
all over New York bus stops
she's on like, you know, Good Morning New York or like whatever that, you know, one of those, like, and then she's on the Today Show and she's like jovial with Savannah Guthrie and Carrie's just watching it in her, you know, kitchen island, just like, oh my God.
Yeah. And then she goes on like Hoda, Kathy and Hoda, and like has like a really cute,
oh my God,
funny
they love
segment.
Her.
They love her.
They fucking love her.
Natasha's the toast of the
she's
world.
She's the toast of, she's the toast of New York. Carrie for a while, she cannot even bring herself to ask Big if he's seeing it.
Yeah. Like they have not spoken about it at all. They're like not, it's like the elephant in the room. It's like beyond the elephant.
So is there a moment where Carrie actually sees Natasha and Big interacting, or is it just she just keeps seeing her at events?
Yeah, I think keeps seeing her at events. And like,
she's, I love that it's parodied on SNL.
Yeah, the whole thing is like parodied on SNL. And then
it's on Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah, Natasha is like, on Watch What Happens
Live. Oh my God,
Andy Cohen's like promoting the book. Yeah, and Carrie's just like, what the fuck. And then something has to happen to like lead her to believe that Big is like leaving. Maybe the he buys an apartment happens to be in Natasha's apartment.
Oh my God.
In Tribeca. He didn't know. It was just like he had no idea, but that's what happened.
Tribeca, Carrie says to Big, like, that's not your, you know, you're not a Tribeca boy.
No.
You know, and like Big's like, well, I just, you know, it's good. It's the most expensive real estate in Manhattan, like blah, blah, you know, that's a great, you know, and Carrie's just like, whoa. And
she's like, I like where we are. I don't see why.
I like where we are in our other, you know, our other properties that are where we are.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to go downtown.
Yeah.
I've already, you know,
I'm a downtown girl. I've already been downtown. Yeah, I'm trying to go uptown.
I've been uptown. I was on the Upper East Side. Now I'm here. You know, and he's like, no, it's just real estate, babe.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, okay.
And she's fully weirded out.
She's consulting with the other girls. But meanwhile, they have
problems of their own.
They have bigger.
Samantha's don't worry.
So Samantha, I see Samantha having like kind of, she's sold. Maybe like she probably, She sold her, like...
She sold her meatpacking district loft. She's moved back to New York now.
Yeah.
Or is she in, like... I feel like Samantha's in tech. Like, she's
in tech.
She's doing PR for tech companies.
She transcended like the whole, like, New York, you know, LA, like, publicity thing. And now she's doing just, like, straight up PR.
She's going
tech.
Where the real money
is. Yeah, she's in Silicon Valley.
She's in Silicon Valley.
Samantha moved to San Francisco during the boom.
Yeah, in SF. Living
she's loving it. She's
like,
loving it.
Her life has never been better. She's like, it's like, celebrated.
It's like she, you know, she couldn't, New York wasn't for her after a while. LA, she could, you know, wasn't her. And she was faking it in LA. But San Francisco is just where she's
belongs.
She cannot believe it.
Yeah, she can't. She would never, if even thought. But she loves it.
She's like totally herself there. Mm-hmm. She feels like she has this incredible place.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, stunning.
Where is it?
She lives like probably in the neighborhood that Danielle Steele lives in.
Okay,
like,
loving it.
Like, and she just is like living a glamorous life.
Yeah,
like all the gays are obsessed with her. Like. Her life is
tech
good.
Gaze.
Tech gaze. And she is like fucking all these like really wealthy like billionaires that then give her one gives her access to this like consciousness.
They're like laying, you know, pillow talk maybe and the guy like, mentions to her like, oh, there's this I'm part of this new, it's not public yet, but we're gonna be launching it the next year. And Samantha's like, oh, what is it? And he kind of tells her the rundown. And Samantha's kind of like,
is it like kind of an altered, it's a alternate reality, but like a VR, maybe like a porn type of
kind
thing?
Kind of like a sort of like a digitized like hologram almost of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And like you can kind of create this like.
You can create you walking around your apartment as you.
Like, you know,
via
like
his hologram.
How they have it on like iPhone 10, like that augmented reality shit. But it's like you, and it's like you can kind of do things to it that like things that you want to do to yourself that can like test things out physically or even personality wise. So Samantha's kind of like,
does he gift her one? He's like, you're such a great fuck, like
she's like well maybe he's thinking like you'll be, she's like, well, I want to be the one that does PR for this because this is gonna fucking blow, you know, this is gonna blow the roof off. You know, I'll get it for my girls, you know, like I have all the, and he's like, well, let's test it out first. And she's not one to back down from like a weird.
No, she loves
it. She's open-minded as fuck. So she's like, okay, you know, they're in like some Palo Alto in the middle of the night, like some huge loft in Palo Alto. And she's like, fine, we'll give it a whirl. So he puts her through the process of, you know, uploading herself. You have to take a little DNA, for, like a blood, you know. So then like
and then do full body like photography scan, like a 3D scan.
Right. So she kind of forgets about it.
Yeah.
You know, a week or two goes by.
Do you think Carrie calls her and is like telling her?
Oh, yeah.
They're in touch about the Natasha at all. And then,
they're all like FaceTiming. Like not Miranda. It's a harder for her because she's up, you know, out of service. But they're all like Charlotte, Samantha, Carrie. They're all FaceTiming.
So then Samantha forgets that like she did this thing or whatever.
Yeah. She like maybe they were even like, you know, it was, what time was it? When it was probably like 5 a.m. So she was like, was that even a dream? Like, I don't even know. So she's going about her life. And then 2 weeks later, she gets blip on her Gmail. We have it for you. She's like, oh, okay. So then they send her a USB cord or like a, what are those?
Just a USB.
A USB.
Drive.
A drive thing. She puts it into her and
voila.
Her.
Yeah.
Samantha. And at first she's kind of like, oh, you know, she doesn't want to look at it.
Yeah.
So she keeps it maybe in her nightstand drawer, kind of tucked away.
Is it life size?
Yeah.
Life size hologram like of her appears. And it's like sassy Samantha. Like she's like sassing herself.
Well, not at first. It's blank.
Okay.
She's just kind of Samantha. And it's like a blank canvas. And she's freaked out by it. Wouldn't you be? Like you see yourself just, it's like life size you just staring back at you.
Yeah.
So Samantha kind of is like, No. This is very strange for me. I don't really, you know, oh. So she puts it in her nightstand drawer, tucks it away for like a few days.
But
she can't stop thinking about it. So then meanwhile, we go to Charlotte.
We go to Charlotte.
She's struggling.
Yeah.
You know, she and Harry, they moved maybe like 2 years ago. You know, they built this incredible house. And like Northern New Jersey has amazing lakes. It's like in that hill, mountainous lake area. She was really reluctant to move from the city, but you know, she wants her daughters to like go to high
school. Really good, like
there's really good high schools out there. So she wants her like Montclair Kimberly Academy, like she wants Lily and Rose to go there. So it's like, you know, it's the right move, but she didn't really want to make it.
Yeah.
But she's there.
But she's also loving nature.
She's loving nature. And, yeah. and she goes on hikes.
She goes on tons
lots
of hikes.
Lots of walks yeah. in the morning when the kids
brisk
are at
walks
school.
With the dog. Like yeah. she's fully in like mom life.
Harry's kind of loving the commute life, you know, mm-hmm. going 40 minutes into the city, that kind of thing.
So yeah.
She's, you know, she doesn't have a nanny anymore. Mm-hmm. Do you think she still has a nanny?
They don't really I feel need, like no, they don't need they one, and she's like hands on. They have yeah. a housekeeper mm. that like helps cook and like clean and stuff. But Charlotte's really like taken over with the
yeah.
girls. Yeah,
and she's you know,
and she's just like full mom mode. And then and she since she doesn't have a job, she clearly decides to get more involved with the school and meet other moms. Like
yeah, this grade school slash it's like a K-12, mm-hmm. and you know, so she's trying to get into this new. Clique of women
mm-hmm.
who are head of the you know the PTA this, the mom club there
mm-hmm.
the parent club they don't want to like you know be offensive so it's yeah. just parent club
yeah mm-hmm. absolutely
and there's some gay parents there's like you know it's really it's like and Charlotte's really into it at first and mm-hmm. she's like oh you know this is awesome but there's this one woman
Winifred
mm-hmm. she is everything
yeah
like
She's super mom.
She's Gwyneth.
Mm-hmm. It's played by Gwyneth.
It's played
oh
by
my
Gwyneth.
God, yes.
Holy fuck.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God. She invites everyone over to her. She has like a workout lodge that mm-hmm. she built on their compound.
Mm-hmm.
And she has like a retreat one day, like a parent social where it's like moms, dads, anyone, they come and they do Pilates, like Tracy Anderson style. Like.
And like with a healthy like lunch afterwards.
Oh my God, it's so crisp. It's yeah. The sky is gray and it's mm-hmm. kind of, it's like early fall, but mm-hmm. it's like a little chilly. It's gorgeous on her property. It's yeah. a lot nicer. I mean,
she's like making cider yeah. and everything and
oh,
everyone's feeling.
Great.
She's like, these like the apple orchard really delivered this year. Like yeah. here's some fresh like apples.
Yeah.
Like, please take them with you. Like I have so many.
She refers to it as like their grounds,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she, it's like a place to come and like, it's, and you know, Charlotte and Harry obviously are like fabulously wealthy, but
yeah.
this is just like,
this is an other world, like.
It's other. And Charlotte is immediately both envious and enamored with her.
Yeah.
But Winnie is...
She wants to be friends. And she reaches out to Winnie. She, like, brings her, like, she brings her a gift.
Yeah.
To the Pilates day.
That's nice.
And...
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's so... that's what... I'm sorry. What was your name again? You know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Charlotte's like, oh, you know, she doesn't really think much of it, but there's just some... It's like a seed is planted in her mind.
Yeah.
And she's... restless.
Mm-hmm.
She talks to Harry about it. Like, I had a great time today. And he's like, oh, did you make a lot? Well, not exactly. I mean, some people were, I made some friends, but what about the, you know, the host, Winnie? She seemed to like me.
Yeah,
you know?
She was nice. She was perfectly fine.
She was perfectly fine.
I think we'll start to get along. Like, the first, like, meeting is next week, and like,
yeah.
I'll get my responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes.
The first meeting comes. Charlotte doesn't get
anything. No.
Nothing.
Mm-mm.
Fucking nothing.
Not one single thing. Like, not even, like, bake a cookie for this volleyball
event. Oh, and
it's
a painful scene.
Yeah.
Because they're calling, like, you know, assigning roles. Everyone's clapping. Everyone's really happy. Charlotte's just, like, kind of in the crowd waiting for her name to be called. Nothing.
It never happens.
Never
so
happens.
Then she's kind of weirded out. And then, like, Winnie opens up the floor because she's, like, the head of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Winnie opens up the floor and she's like, if anyone has any suggestions for, like, the school year ahead, like, please speak now. And then Charlotte raises her hand, stands, and is like, I have a lot of things that I would love to talk about. And then Winnie just, like, shuts her down.
Yeah. She's like,
oh, we did that last year.
Yeah. Why don't you... You can write an email.
Mm-hmm.
Send it out in, like, the
Put
email.
Put it all in the email. We actually are out of time at this point. But thanks for coming and, you know, good luck.
And there's, like, a gay dad who, like, Charlotte is friends with who, like, kind of is, like...
He's like, that was fucked up.
That was fucked up. And she was like, no, it wasn't. And then they go and get drinks after. And Charlotte's like, what the fuck? Like, you know, and she starts crying.
Yeah.
So she's... That's happening. Mm-hmm. And then we go to...
We go to Miranda.
Up in the Catskills. So she, you know, she quit her firm. Like, she started her own firm.
She's in her own firm.
She started her own firm, but she, like, it's gone so well for her. Like, she's just, like, one of the premier lawyers in New York City. And, like, she's just such a fucking baller. And, like, has made so much money and is just living her life. Mm-hmm. But she's always wanted, She reveals one night to Steve that she's always wanted to run a summer camp.
She's like, remember when we went on our honeymoon and I was like so upset because we were just like away and out in the wild and like yeah. there was nothing to do, like no books to read, yeah. TV. She was like, I had a moment of reflection on that day after going to a lot of therapy that we both started after our like split.
Yeah.
Brief split and mm-hmm. then reunited. And we both started seeing therapists. He's like, yeah, I know. Like, you're a therapist. You love her. And she's yeah. like, yeah. So I started really doing this work on like myself in a sense that like I looked back at my life and said, what scared me the most in my life? And that our honeymoon was one of them. And I realized like, I need to be out in nature.
Yeah.
Like that's where
nature frightens
I'm
me.
Being called to nature.
It both frightens me and calls to me.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, totally. Like, yeah. He's like so supportive.
Yeah. And she's like, I've talked it through in this intensive therapy I've been doing. Like, we're doing this new program.
Mm-hmm.
And we came to the realization that I need to open a summer camp.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay.
He's like, you know what? Brady would love that.
Brady would love a summer up in the Cats. Like, we're going to go, so they buy some land
mm-hmm.
and they're just going to,
they're scouting it out. It's like a totally new experience for yeah. them. They're so excited.
It's like an
about
old
it.
Campground, yeah. And it's like, there's cabins. It's like, there's some there's some activity courts, there's, volley, but it's all real shitty and
it's
rusty.
Shitty, but the good thing is Steve has been through this before. He went through it with the bar
yeah.
that he opened and
he's
he had
so
to kind
great.
Of like refurbish it. So he's excited about yeah. this like project.
Miranda figures
and he
out
calls,
all the...
He probably calls in Aiden
oh, shit.
To help with like the woodworking.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they're
where's
just like...
Where's Aiden been?
Well...
Overseas.
Yeah, he's been like raising his family. Yeah. I think Aiden's divorced now because clearly yeah. he was like so willing to cheat on his wife with mm-hmm. Carrie when he saw her yeah. in Abu Dhabi that like he's now divorced. He's like a single father
yeah.
of two.
But like...
He has like two daughters probably.
Oh yeah, and he's a great dad.
Yeah,
but,
and he's
like,
a great dad.
He's really unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
So Miranda, she figures out all the legal stuff and they have this... But... she starts getting she starts getting some weird messages from the locals
okay.
and the guy who she took over from his family. It was in his family for generations and
mm-hmm.
they all died out
mm-hmm.
but the kind of legal liaison for this family, I just want to let you know there have been some things have happened here.
Yeah.
I'm obligated to tell the new buyer that
yeah.
there have been some instances here.
Mm-hmm.
Miranda's kind of like, well, what instances? And he's like, some people have died here. Some campers, some counselors, and miscellaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of freaky. And
yeah, but she's like, okay. Like, she's so business-oriented. She's like, I don't have time for that. I don't have time
Steve's
for whatever
a little weird. Steve's like,
Are you sure that we should do this?
Yeah.
And like, she's
Magda's like, they call her in the
consult. Magda sees like spirit. Yeah. Magda's fully.
She's still there. She's the same age.
Yeah. Magda's the same age. She still works for their
yeah.
family. And
yeah.
like, Magda's like fully having visions. Like, as soon as she steps foot on
yeah.
the campground,
it's like Shining.
Yeah. It's like full Shining, but she doesn't say anything to Miranda because she doesn't want to get fired. And like, she knows that.
Does
Miranda's,
Brady see stuff?
I think Brady's mute. Like, he doesn't speak.
Right.
I think that that's like he's always had like learning disabilities and he's just like an interesting like young child, somewhat like a Haley Joel Osment
right.
in Sixth Sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Brady's just like, he like rarely speaks.
Right.
But he communicates in other ways. Like, he's very, very smart, but
so
he's
like,
also a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's already kind of on the other side.
He's on the other side, connected. Magda's like fully
she's freaking
the fuck
she's
out.
Like, She goes about doing sort of chores around the property and
mm-hmm.
she just sees, has like a Shining Twin moment where she sees two like little campers
mm-hmm.
who look like they're from the 70s.
Yeah.
And they're just like in the distance. She can't really make them out, but she sees them just standing in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
And she has some like laundry in her hands and she drops the laundry and she
mm-hmm.
runs into, and Miranda's just so busy that she's not even registering that Magda's trying to warn her.
Yeah. She's like, Magda, I know this is weird for everyone.
Yeah.
I know this is an unusual place that we find ourselves in, but we're going to make the best of it.
Yeah.
We're doing this. Like, we have to do the things that scare us the most.
My spirit will be complete. And she's like, well, I think there are spirits that are haunting us.
Mm-hmm.
And she's
and
like,
Steve's just wants to make Miranda happy.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're doing this. Like,
yeah.
he's kind of weirded out, but he's ultimately like, we're all committed to this
right.
new thing.
So that's, but you know, things start getting a lot weirder.
Yeah.
And like Miranda starts having dreams where she's just like surrounded by blood and like just horror.
And
like,
she's pregnant in her dreams.
Oh my God.
With like a new redheaded baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the baby has like black eyes.
Yeah.
And it opens its mouth and it like speaks without moving its lips. Like mm-hmm. the mouth, it has like, yeah. it has like dual voices.
Yeah.
And it, and then she looks again and the eyes are both mouths.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like a mouth, like
yeah.
from hell.
Her like redheaded mouth baby.
And it comes out of her and Magda just points at her and she looks down and it's coming out of her. And it's just like this.
It's instead of blood, it's just black.
Black.
It's like just like ink. Black ink. Like
octopus.
Yeah.
yeah. And Magda points and goes, look. And then she wakes up. Miranda wakes up and what the fuck?
Yeah. And she's like, that was weird.
So she goes on a walk.
Yeah. She goes on a walk. She calls Carrie.
She calls Carrie. She somehow gets... There's this one area of the campground that has like, service. Great service.
Yeah.
And it's a place where Miranda can just go and be by herself. She calls Carrie.
Carrie's just, like, bitching and moaning about all the Natasha drama mm-hmm. and whatnot. And, like, Miranda is really, like, supportive and there for her.
But she's not telling her what's going on.
She's not telling
she's
her
like,
what's going
great.
On.
She's like, it's great. It's great.
She knows it would be too much for Carrie to handle.
Yeah.
Like, Carrie has enough on her plate. Like, clearly
with the properties.
She's freaking out about yeah. the property
and
like,
Natasha.
This other drama.
Yeah.
Truly, at the end of the day, has not a lot to do with her.
Right, right, right.
And she should be just, like, having a moment where she has to take responsibility for her life choices.
Right.
And that's seemingly harder for her than anything else. So.
Right.
Miranda doesn't put it on her, but she does say, hey, maybe you should go visit Charlotte.
Yeah.
Because she seems to be, she's being bullied.
Yeah, Miranda kind of is like, you know, Carrie, sometimes it's good to get out of yourself and be of service.
And sometimes it's good to get out of your environment and go to a different environment. It's done wonders for me so far.
Yeah, so Carrie's like, all right. So she takes the, she takes New Jersey Transit mm-hmm. over, you know. She has like a monologue as she's on the train.
Yeah, she goes, doesn't tell Big where she's going.
No. Because she's at this point completely convinced that Big and Natasha are like talking again.
They're fully like gonna get together.
So she gets out. She has her sunglasses on. She's in like Port Authority. She has some like funny interactions in Port Authority, like just like, you know, Gen Pop. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh my God, this is, you know, I'm, this is not her thing.
Yeah.
She's on the train. Maybe she's even smoking a cigarette on the New Jersey Transit.
Carrie's definitely started smoking
she
again.
She started smoking again and hiding it from Big.
Yeah.
And Big finds her cigarettes while she... And he's just kind of like... There's this moment where he looks down and sees...
He just shakes his head.
Oh, no.
Then he lights one.
And she keeps it in like a... She keeps her the cigs in like a... Like a...
Like a vintage...
Yeah.
Like a silly vintage
Like a mason jar.
Case. Yeah.
Like full of like water that's brown. From, and she keeps them hidden and like...
Oh, like the butts.
Yeah, and he's like, what is that smell? And he looks in and it's... And he's... So that's also like... Carrie doesn't realize that while she's so... She's alienating Big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she doesn't realize that like her kind of self-centered paranoias mm-hmm. are like actually causing...
It's pushing him away.
And she's legitimately doing things that like... Are like she's keeping secrets.
She's
and, like,
sabotaging the relationship,
yeah.
and then she decides like she's like maybe it's time for me to have my Gone Girl moment. And so
oh,
then she
fuck.
So she gets
she fully on Amy, amazing yeah, Amy's.
She fully just disappears.
Yeah,
she's so like I'll show him.
So she packs her bag.
Everyone. I'm gonna escape.
And she and Charlotte meanwhile is like okay sure you can come stay with you know she's Charlotte's yeah. like I have bigger things to worry about yeah. but like Winnie
yeah she's Charlotte's like getting the guest room ready,
yeah kind of like
okay
cause
and then she, Carrie gets there and she's like well show me about your I want to know everything about your life like what
yeah.
do you do and so like then Carrie is fully like privy to mom mode where she's
yeah.
waking up at like 6 a.m. she's yeah. going to do the school run with Charlotte going to do the yoga class
yeah.
after the school run mm-hmm. talking through the yoga class
like,
and the instructor's getting pissed
Big Little Lies shit
yeah.
and Carrie's like oh
and then she goes to a parent meeting
and she sees and then
she sees Winnie treat Charlotte like shit
and Carrie is like finally Carrie snapping out of her thing and
yeah.
she goes because like that's the thing about Carrie is like why you can't fully hate her is like even if she goes into these holes where she's so self-obsessed
mm-hmm.
she does do really good things for her friends
yeah
and like she does
she
have
cares.
Moments she does care
she cares about her friends
like she literally was gripping Miranda's hand while she gave birth
yeah.
like she and she you know what I mean like she
that's caring
she is caring Carrie
yeah
so she goes up to Winnie after this when she maybe ice Charlotte or like says a comment to
Winnie says I recognize you from your column like when I was just a New York girl I really like lived and died by your column in the New York Star.
Carrie's charmed by her.
Carrie's charmed by her.
So maybe that gives, maybe that actually gives Charlotte more credibility with Winnie.
Yeah.
Like Winnie's like, all right, well, to, you know, if you're blah, 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 like friends with, you know, Carrie mm-hmm. Bradshaw, like.
You know what? I think Winnie doesn't like Charlotte because Charlotte's such a goody-goody. And Winnie has always run in a crowd of like rich, fast moms that like had this like crazy party past, like were at the limelight and like really like just like hardcore in
yeah.
like, the 90s.
Maybe Carrie knows her.
And Carrie knows her.
Maybe they knew each other. Maybe she goes, maybe like.
She goes, Carrie, remember when you hooked up with that guy and then had to get an abortion? And now he works as the waiter. And Carrie's like, yes, oh my God, I totally confront
him. Oh my God, and they bond.
Yeah.
And then, they're like, it's oh my so God. Good to see oh my God, it's so like Winnie.
Charlotte feels
Winnie.
Even more left out.
Yeah, Winnie, we called you Wendy, like, you know, some yeah. club kid yeah. shit. And then mm-hmm. Charlotte's like, fuck! You yeah. know, and then Carrie and Winnie are like, they've reconnected, and Carrie yeah. maybe like went, she went to confront Winnie, but instead is like
realize,
making Charlotte's
oh my God.
Life worse.
Yeah. But then Charlotte realizes she's like, okay, I really do need to like edge myself up a little bit because I never had this like crazy period.
She buys Coke.
She buys Coke.
She, oh she goes, my God.
She goes, she goes
she,
and gets an eight ball.
She goes into the city.
Charlotte decides to go like full like bad girl.
She so now that she's jealous of Carrie because now like
she's
Winnie.
Like, I want to be bad.
Yeah.
I want to be bad.
And Carrie's like, oh, Charlotte, like that's, it's okay. Like you don't have to do that. Like don't make yourself. Like, you're perfect, because Carrie loves...
Yeah, Carrie loves Charlotte the way she
and
is.
And this whole Carrie-Winnie thing, it's like, she's... So, she's not doing it to hurt Charlotte. Like, she just sees,
no.
like, an old friend, and is like, oh my God! And yeah. then Winnie's like, I have to have it... I'm gonna have you guys over. Like, we'll have a girls' night.
And yeah, like, and we'll Charlotte's like I wanna be bad.
And then she's like, Charlotte, you can come too. You mm-hmm. know, even though... So, Charlotte's like, now she has to find her way into, like, what's her currency is an eight ball.
Yeah. And so, she... gets Carrie. She's like, Harry's watching Lily and Rose.
We need to go buy drugs.
We need to go buy drugs.
And Carrie's like, fuck.
Back to New York. She's back to New York. I just escaped.
We'll wear disguises.
Like, we'll wear disguises. They get in their trench coats and get into Charlotte's like huge Lexus SUV.
And they drive.
And they drive.
It's raining.
All around till they finally like score some blow.
Like, and, you know, they go into, where are they in New York? They're probably in like, you know, they go into like the Lower East Side mm-hmm. or like some
like
or,
Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Or
oh my God, they're up in Hell's Kitchen and they get coke from like some gay guy.
Yeah. And
that,
then
like,
they go.
That she Carrie calls
Stanford, and she's like, Stanny, who's your hookup these
and
days?
He's like, oh Carrie, I don't. You know, I'm how many years sober? Like I'm 6 years sober.
And
she's
then
like,
Anthony
I know.
Hops on the phone. And he's like, no, he's not. He did a booty bump of ecstasy yeah. last night.
Yeah.
He's like, always, like,
he's like,
blowing up Stanford.
So then they wrote they are now involved in their drug like yeah. hunt with them. So now they have their gaze.
And Stanford and Anthony are like, we're coming too.
Yeah. So
back to New Jersey.
Yeah. So,
you guys,
so
for the girls next.
Yes. Yeah. So now they have their gaze. They go into this like weird, like, unassuming like drug den in Hell's Kitchen, and they get their like they buy like a few eight balls
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Yeah. Charlotte keeps being like, I don't know if that's enough, I think we want more. And
then he makes them all do coke mm-hmm. to like, you know how they do that sometimes, like they to make
yeah.
sure that they're not cops.
Yeah.
He makes all four of them, and Carrie's like, I literally can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, I will, my heart will explode.
And they're like, no, you're doing it.
So all four of them do.
Carrie pretends to do it, but like blows it off the thing.
Yeah.
Because she just knows like one of us needs to have our head
yeah.
on straight.
But the three of them do coke and they're fucking yacked out. And
they're yacked
and so
out.
Carrie has to drive. Carrie hasn't driven.
She hasn't driven since she came to LA and rented
yeah.
the blue Mustang. So she's like totally thrown, but at least it's an automatic.
And they're all.
And not a stick.
So the three of them are yacked out of their minds. They're just having
going
mile
back
a minute,
to New
going
Jersey,
back into New Jersey.
To go to Winnie's house.
To go to Winnie's. Yes. Meanwhile, Samantha, we have to check in with our girl.
Yeah, check in with our girl.
So
back
she's,
in Silicon Valley.
So she
in
is,
Samantha's beautiful home.
She
to SF.
So she's like, so far, like she's begun to be a little lighter with her version. Like she was mean to it. She threw it in a nightstand, but she's gotten to know it a little more.
Mm-hmm.
It's her. She's gotten to know Sam. That's mm-hmm. what she's calling her.
Yeah.
So Sam and her are just like, they're like roommates, you know, and like, you know, she has her just on full mode. Like, she doesn't put her on sleep mode ever. Like, she is just up when she's up, and she goes to bed when she goes to bed. And yeah, they're just like roommates, and they're yeah. cohabitating.
And they kind of like give each other outfit advices, and Samantha like tries on her lingerie for Sam, and she's like, "You look hot."
Yeah, and then, she's like, "Good taste."
Yeah, and then like one night, a guy like comes over, like knocking on the door, and he like goes and like he and Samantha's like so surprised to see him, but they have like hot sex, and then she's like, "How did that happen?" And then Sam is like, "I called him," and like so she's like, she's really like setting up. Like sexual romps.
Do they have a three-way?
Yes, they absolutely do.
They have like a blade.
She's like, "You've got to try this."
They have like a Blade Runner 2049 yeah. like
yeah.
threesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's kind of like, oh, like my protege. Like yeah. She finally has like a partner in crime. Mm-hmm. That's like,
and
literally,
it's herself. It's a hologram of herself.
It's a hologram of herself. They have a she's so entertained.
Yeah.
And she and her like go on, they have like shenanigans. Like yeah. they go out and they pick guys up together.
Oh, they go out to like the gay bars yeah. in the Mission, and they are just like the fucking queens. Toast of the
Hologram
town.
Sam. That's Hologram what everyone calls Sam. It. And yeah. Hologram Sam is like, and she and Samantha.
They are leading the pride parade on yeah. like Pride Day. Like they are fully like on a float.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
like,
then
Folsom happens and they're like strutting in the streets.
Yeah.
And, like, all the guys are like, Hologram Sam.
Yeah. And then Samantha, they start, and then she starts giving her like career advice, mm-hmm. and then like, you know, she brings her to work, and they like have a meeting one time, and then Samantha, Hologram Sam, helps Samantha with some pitch meeting, and Samantha forgets it because she's just been like partying so much and living her life.
Yeah,
she has a moment in this big meeting, and and Hologram Sam helps her, mm-hmm. and everyone goes, "Who's that?" You know, and then she becomes a threat to Samantha, competition.
Okay. Yeah.
And she's kind of like, you know, this is my work.
She's like, I know.
Because for Samantha, without her work, like, I mean,
who is she?
Her work, you do not come near her.
Yeah.
In terms of like, you know, being a boss bitch.
Yeah.
So Hologram Sam.
And she's like, she's like, I'm so foggy. That never happens.
Yeah.
Like, what could be going on? She's like, I did my fair share of Quaaludes and I kept my shit together.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What's happening now? And so she starts to realize that Hologram Sam.
I did enough crab walking in 1988 to like, you know, to be a full Boston's legal seafood or something, you know, on Quaaludes. Hologram Sam is like, you know what? Like, it's okay.
She's like, it's fine. Don't worry.
I just was trying to help you out.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
She's like, let's go out. And yeah. Sam decides to like blow it off. It's like, fine.
Fine.
But really, she comes to realize that Hologram Sam is like, she's like drugging her at certain moments and like trying.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
To take over
her She's trying
life.
To take over her life.
Yeah.
And she's keeping her kind of distracted and like, you know, Samantha's sort of having a renaissance moment with herself.
Yeah.
But she realizes this version of herself is actually...
might have more malintent.
Sinister.
Yeah.
And it's AI and the singularity has happened.
Yeah.
And
so...
And maybe Silicon Valley is now... they're realizing what's happening.
Yeah. And so Samantha, like, decides for just tonight, she's just going to turn Hologram
on
Sam
airplane
off.
Mode.
Yeah. She's just going to put her on airplane mode and, like... and
I'm going on a date.
Yeah. And... the next day, when she boots her up again, Hologram Sam is mad.
She's like, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, you didn't tell me.
For the past 2 months, we've been attached to the hip.
And she's like, well, sometimes you just need a night out with yourself. And by yourself, I mean me.
You know?
And then Hologram Sam is like, I am you, mm-hmm. you know, and then they start having this tiff.
They have a tiff, they have a fight, and then things reach like Maria levels where like shit's getting destroyed and Hologram Sam is like, it's kind of like, oh my God, she's a little bit off. So Samantha goes to like turn her off, but now she can't turn her off.
And she goes full Skynet.
And she goes fully, Hologram Sam is like, ha, you thought you could get rid of me. It's not that easy. Like
yeah.
I've changed. She's like she's AI, so she's gotten like smarter than the program. So she's figured out how to self-program so you cannot ever turn her off. She's like, I'm here to stay.
Your brand is me.
She's like, get used to it.
Yeah. And so that's
how struts out of the apartment. And Samantha's like, where is she going?
So now she herself, she has to go looking for her hologram version. Meanwhile, she gets a phone call from Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
They're driving
back. In the car, driving back to Winnie.
But it's actually Charlotte on Carrie's phone. Hi! Samantha's like, what's going on? I can't really talk right now, you know? And Carrie's like, Samantha, we're driving. It's pouring rain. And then she's like, and Charlotte goes, we're on cocaine.
And Samantha goes, I love that.
Oh, I love that. What? Why?
Where did you get it?
Yeah, you wait 10, you know, 20 years in our friendship and you're finally having fun. And then the gays in the back are like, hey, girl, you know? And so Samantha's like, I can't deal with this right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have a little bit of a problem. I have to call you back.
So what happens with Miranda? What's going on?
So meanwhile, Miranda's having her like demonic black mouth baby, ink blood birth dreams, and they're getting worse and worse.
And there's more like poltergeist shit happening, like windows opening.
Yeah.
One night there's a fire.
Yeah.
They wake up in the middle of the night and they hear a
scream. One of the buildings is on fire.
They hear screaming and it's Brady.
Yeah.
He's going, Mom! And she's like, oh my God, he's speaking.
Yeah.
You know, and they run, and her and Steve run out, Magda, and they like have.
And Brady's just watching as like the dining hall burns to the ground.
The dining hall's on fire. And then Miranda goes, Brady, did you do this? And he's like, no. And she's like, well, who else? You know, so then they blame
Brady. So now
Brady,
they're like, oh, he's a fire starter.
Yeah. He's, oh my God, Miranda's like, I've been focusing so much on myself and my like, you know, my self-actualization of moving out here that I've forgotten that I need to be focusing on my son, and he's disturbed, you know? So now they're worried that he's developed like psychopathy, you know?
And Magda is like fully mentally unraveled. Like, but like they go back into like, they're like, Magda, what happened? Like, how did you not hear him leaving like his room?
Yeah.
And she's just kind of like mumbling to herself.
Yeah.
Like she's fully crossed over. Like the ghosts are way too much for her to handle.
Yeah.
And Magda's like mentally and emotionally retreated back into herself, and she's kind of like rocking back and forth and like speaking Ukrainian or
Polish
Polish or whatever language she speaks. And Miranda and Steve are freaked out at this point.
They're freaked out.
They're like,
and, you
something
know,
weird is going on.
Something really weird is happening. Maybe we should leave. But Miranda's like, there's something that's keeping Miranda there. And she's
also,
like, no, I have to stay. And Steve's like, it's like kind of in The Shining when Shelley Duvall is like, we have to bring Danny to. And she's like, no, we have to stay. You know?
Yeah.
So that is like, Miranda's
kind of becoming possessed at this point.
Yeah. Like, her desire to improve herself and be the best version of herself and like emotionally is actually being used against her by the ghosts.
Yeah. And
they're preying on her.
Steve is like totally freaked out.
He goes into town and like
he and Aiden have like a one-on-one and
Aiden comes. Has he already come?
I think Aiden's been there just like helping out off and on.
Yeah. He's coming up on weekends.
It's near his, like his little house up in upstate.
Yeah.
So he comes in on weekends and helps. So he and
Steve
takes Brady for like a day to visit Aiden. He tells him like something weird is going down. Man.
So they start like kind of looking into it and they start digging up things about the property.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Miranda's like, building, she's like, you know, painting, she's going, and everything's looking really great and perfect,
except for the dining hall,
except for the burnt down dining hall. And Magda's like, you know,
Magda's
having like sundowners, like,
yeah,
you know, like
she's just like, they're kind of ignoring that for now. They're like, we'll get to this later, but first we need to figure out
the campgrounds,
like,
it's perfect, it's becoming like you know, lively and beautiful and bright, and she's opening a mess hall, and
one day they wake up and all the trees have turned like blood red and orange, like overnight. Like it went from just like greenery to then just like blood. And it's like, what, they're like, whoa.
And they go out into the field that's behind like where the like soccer field's going to be and the activity fields. And the entire field is stark white.
Mm-hmm.
The blades, they're all, it's like, you know, off platinum white. And,
and
just overnight. And Miranda's like, what's happening? You know?
Yeah.
And then, so Steve and Aiden and Brady, who Miranda feels guilty about Brady that she blamed him, but they take him to like a doctor and he's like, I think your kid's fine. He's just like, he just has some things, you know, about him, but
he's fine. And then they're like, nothing out of the norm.
Yeah. And then they go to a local bookstore and the woman who runs it's like, that place is haunted.
Yeah.
It was built on a cursed
take a look at this.
Take a look at this.
And they go through, pulls the book out.
You know, local Catskills history. And they look and they realize that the place was a place of like slaughter and hell when the, you know, colonists first came and they were just like brutalizing. Right?
Yeah.
And they just turned it into like...
Yeah. It was total, like, it is an Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
And like... Not only are they on a haunted burial ground, but they're like totally politically incorrect for like buying this in the first place.
Yeah. 'Cause
like the family who everyone died was like, they were actually like terrible, evil colonists that like, that just like killed all the Indians on the burial ground.
Yeah. Like they like turned
their family, like turned this whole tribe, like they just like brutalized this tribe,
and then they like turned it, they, and then it just became like a campground.
Yeah.
And like it was like this place for like terrible white people to send their kids.
Yeah. And like, it's like horrific human rights violations have happened all over this, like, and it is forever cursed.
Yeah. And it's basically just like, it's like poor Miranda, she's like, she has no idea, but it's basically like, it's like a metaphor for like white people being awful and like being selfish and trying to find like,
yeah,
we're gonna open up like rich white people, we're gonna open up like a, you know, summer retreat or like a, you know, be rustic. Yeah. And like try to do the whole upstate thing, and it's actually, it's like a manifestation of all that horror and guilt.
And like in the book there's pictures like from like the 1800s or like 1700s of like the, when they first opened the camp and like had some tribes people like come and like bless the air, like it just like shows how much they like took advantage of these, of the natives.
Yeah. But then, you know, they got their revenge.
Yeah.
So they, as they should have. But, and then they're like, oh my god, we have to like, we have to leave. So they go back, and then we go back to Winnie's party.
Yeah. So at Winnie's party, they come over.
All
arrive.
It's like, you know, it's a chill wine night. You know, Charlotte and the gays got Charlotte ready, and they got her edged out, and like Carrie helped. But Carrie's just like, fuck. She's like, Big is now like, are you smoking again? And Carrie's like, I can't deal with that.
He's like, you know? Where are you?
Where are you?
And she blocks him.
She blocks him.
Yeah.
You know, just like, so she's terrible. Like,
whatever. And so, like, and then they're all at Winnie's party. Winnie is like looking fantastic in like cashmere kind of loungewear. Yeah.
Oh, it's like you know,
she comes out in like silk pajamas. Like, you know, people are wearing pajamas nowadays.
Yeah, you know, it's like that scene in It's Complicated when Meryl has like Rita Wilson and you know, what's her name? You know, those women over.
And she like bakes a pie.
Yeah, and they're all like, oh, you know, it's like kind of that thing. But then they come over and they're like, guess what? And Winnie's like, what? To Charlotte. And she's like, we have Coke.
And Stanford knows Winnie, too.
Yeah. They were like, yeah.
Because so they all kind of ran. He and Carrie and her ran together back in the day.
So they have like, they start doing lines. And it's like, it turns into like a raucous like cocaine party.
Yeah.
And Carrie's.
And Carrie finally does a bump.
Yeah.
And then she's actually having fun.
She's having,
for the first time in months, I actually feel like myself again. Like, I feel confident and like not worried about this Natasha stuff.
But guess what happens?
What?
The doorbell rings, and guess who's at the door?
Who?
Natasha. Turns out Winnie and her are like old family friends. Like, Winnie's a little older than Natasha, but
my
like,
God.
They're like,
but they go way back.
And Natasha's, and Winnie's like, hey! Oh my God, Natasha! Tasha's here!
And then you realize that Winnie knew all along that she was going to set Carrie up like this and have a full-blown confrontation while Carrie is, like, so coked out.
Carrie's beyond coked out now. Like, her and Stanford are up, like, doing, like, bathroom bump, like, just, like, coke talk.
Talking, like, a mile a minute.
Charlotte and Anthony come in, and they're all just, like, the four of them are just, like, having, like, we really did it, guys. Like, we're just, like, we're reaching the prime of our lives, and, like, this is just so great. And, like, and then we shoot to, like, Charlotte, and she's like, you know, I really want to try, like, start swimming again. Like, I think I haven't swam in like 10 years, but I'm definitely a capable swimmer. I really want my girls to do swim team. I think it's a great. And then Anthony's like, I did crew for a while in boarding school.
Yeah. Know, so he's like, swimmers have the best bodies. Oh, they're so hot.
And they have great, and they have great chances at scholarships.
Yeah. And this is like kind of the shenanigans part of the movie where it's like silly comedy, like to get the audience really laughing.
And then meanwhile, Natasha's downstairs. Carrie has no idea. Carrie gets a phone call from Samantha, who's like FaceTiming her, and she's like, out looking for herself, you know, in San Francisco. And she realizes that herself has bought a plane ticket to New York.
Oh, fuck and is already on the plane.
So she calls Carrie rushing through the terminal. She's like, guess who's coming back to New York tonight, you know? And Carrie's like, what, you're coming?
So she's like, hopping on a red eye.
Hopping on a red eye. And Carrie's like, well, we'll probably still be up, so yeah, you should come. Can you come to Newark instead of... And so Samantha's like, I'll be there in a jiff. You know? So she's coming.
She doesn't even have to like buy a plane ticket. She just calls her Silicon Valley fuck and she's like,
get me on a PJ.
Things have gotten out of control. Get me on the PJ. So they fire. She like gets the flight.
And he comes with her.
Yeah. And he comes with her.
And he's like younger than her.
Yeah. He's like 25.
But like,
and they like fuck on the plane. And that's like a moment of relief for her. Yeah. She's like, God, I just need to get fucked. This is so stressful. So they like fuck on the private jet,
and then while they're on the private jet though, and Samantha's maybe starting to like him,
mm-hmm,
like be vulnerable with him, and then he tells her that he fucked Hologram Sam.
And she's like, well, how was she?
Yeah.
And he goes, she's nowhere near as good as you.
And then Samantha's like, that's the best thing she could ever say.
Yeah,
she's better than herself.
Mm-hmm.
So then we flush. So we flash forward to like Coke Party. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, they're listening to like what, you know, fuck, like Whitney Houston, like late 80s Whitney,
yeah,
like Paula Abdul. Like they're doing it.
They're in Whitney's like workout room.
Yeah.
Like all kind of coked out, like working on treadmill.
Yeah.
And, like, lifting weights.
She brought her like Pilates friend over to teach Pilates, and they're doing like coked out Pilates.
Yeah.
So Carrie comes downstairs finally and she sees Natasha.
She's sweaty. Her mascara is kind of running. Her nose is a little bit red.
And white.
And white. Like, yeah.
And they're just completely yacked out.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie comes downstairs and she sees Natasha, who's just kind of demure, sitting at the island with a glass of wine. She's wearing like denim.
Mm-hmm. You
know, she's looking so like
polished,
fabulous,
and young,
and just like effortless.
Yeah.
In everything she does.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie sees Natasha and is like, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
They have like kind of a moment where they stare, and then Charlotte and the gays are like, we're gonna go in the other room, you know?
Yeah.
So then they go in the other room and they start like watching porn.
Yeah, they turn and Charlotte's like, I love this!
I love porn!
I love it!
I love porn!
Yeah.
You know, so then Carrie and Natasha are sitting at the kitchen, and then Tasha's like, hey, this is so crazy. And then she's like, I didn't know you knew Winnie. And Carrie's like, oh yeah, we used to hang out in like the 80s and early 90s. So they start actually having like a talk.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie is trying so hard not to be coked out, but like clearly... Like,
yeah, she's unnerved.
And Natasha's like, you know, I just wanted to reach out to you actually, but I didn't know, you know, your number, your info, but I'm, you know, I'm so sorry if like this has all been so kind of overwhelming for you. And like, because mm-hmm, I realize that while it's healing for me, it might be hard for you still to see all this. And I never meant to...
hurt you or drag you into this. She's like, we all have stories to tell.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're a story for me.
Yeah.
You know? And
I'm a story for you.
And we share that. And like, there's like a weird bonding thing in that. And mm-hmm, Carrie's kind of like, yeah. And she's kind of becoming a little more lucid.
Yeah.
And so then...
she like gets a glass of water.
Yeah.
She's like drinking water, like just trying to kind of sober up. And then Natasha says, and I don't want to be you.
No.
She's like, I don't want to be you or take over your life.
I didn't have a choice.
Yeah, I didn't have a choice. I was young, and life is about you make mistakes and you learn from those mistakes.
And then
you don't let those mistakes define who you are.
Yeah, and Carrie's like, oh, fuck. She's actually like...
she's like, I hate that I love her so much,
yeah,
but like, she's like fucking... obviously, everyone loves her. This is why.
Yeah, and then Carrie...
crazy.
And then Carrie's like, do you want to do coke?
And Natasha's like, yeah.
Okay, so they start doing coke together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere a seed has to be planted, though, that Natasha has seen big, right?
Yeah.
Or Carrie misconstrues something.
Yeah. How do they, like, they bring up the... like,
maybe they start talking about big, like sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like sex with big.
Oh, they definitely do.
And they start talking about like his dick and like making fun of like does he still do that? And Carrie's like, oh my god, of course.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, does he still like shit with the door open and stuff like that?
And Carrie's like, I've been trying to get him to stop doing that for literally 10 years.
Yeah, and she's like, God bless you. You
know, she's like, he never will.
Yeah, he never will.
And then I think we realize that like then Carrie finally brings up kind of the big elephant in the room, which is like the apartment built, like the property.
Yeah.
And I think somehow it comes to light that like Natasha is just asexual now. Like she identifies as like totally asexual.
Yes.
And like,
oh, yeah.
Therefore eliminating any sort of threat. She's like, I don't date. Like, she's like, I just am.
I transcended sexuality.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually, she's like, I actually describe myself as post.
Yeah.
I'm just post. Like, I don't need, yeah. I have no need for.
Natasha's like done this sort of like energy work where it's like all the energy she puts out, she channels back into herself. So her entire life feels like an orgasm 24/7.
She's fucking herself constantly.
Yeah. And she's like, she's like, it's not for the faint of heart, but I will say it's changed everything for me. But I have no interest in like any sort of relationship or yeah. sex with anyone.
And else. And then she says to Carrie, like, honestly, if it does make you comfortable, like I can leave that building.
Yeah.
If it and Carrie's kind of like, because Carrie, she's like
please,
yeah, yeah, please, please, actually.
She's like, you would? Yeah. And Natasha's like, totes.
Totes. And she's like, even though I've like totally just started renovating it and my apartment's going to be an Architecture Digest like yeah. in 3 months.
She's like, I'll move out.
Yeah, I'll move out. Like I can literally afford anything right now. Like yeah. my and she goes, my book is being optioned for a movie and also a Netflix series. And Carrie's like, wait, what? So then it's like another
troll
yeah.
on Carrie.
And she's like, fuck.
Yeah. She's like, God, this woman's so successful.
And
Natasha's like, look, I've been meaning to get out to LA for a long time. And so I have to be out there anyways. And I probably like won't even be back.
Yeah.
Like the whole building thing. Like, don't worry.
Don't worry. And she's mm-hmm. like, you know, and also like, if you ever want to like be maybe a consultant on my movie that they're like, you know, or have a writing, and then Carrie's like, fuck you, you know, and then like, she leaves her.
Yeah.
Because she's so like, I can't.
Yeah. You
know, she's done.
She's just like flustered.
So she's like, maybe I should call Big now.
Yeah. So she calls him and she like explains what's happening and he's really weirded out that like,
he's like, where talking. You're in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Like you're with Charlotte. Like what's going on? And then he hears like screaming in the background and he's like, wait, what's going on there? And Carrie's just like, we're at a wine night, you know, yeah. and then
he's like, are you on coke?
Are you on coke right now? And she's like, no, no.
She's like, I gotta go.
I gotta go.
Service. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Yeah. And she hangs up. And then what's happening with Charlotte?
Charlotte is watching porn with Anthony and Stanford.
And then Winnie comes in.
And then Winnie comes in and she's like, guys,
we just had a great workout.
Yeah.
And Charlotte goes, fuck you, Winnie. Mm-hmm. Like, just she just gets like, you know, yeah. she has that
like
random coke
up.
Rage where you're just like,
she's like, you think that I'm such a loser, but I'm not. Like, I've done a lot of things in my life.
I've done many things.
It might not be the same level as what you did, but like, I'm a person too.
But she freaks out at her because Winnie says like, God, we just had a great workout. And she says like, what do you, and she goes, are you guys watching porn? And then she was like, what does she say to Charlotte? Like, what could she say to Charlotte that triggers her like that? Like,
she's like, I thought you hated your vagina.
She's like, wow, I really, like, I could not have pictured this from you. She's like, genuinely thought, like, you haven't touched yourself. And like, and she goes, you know what? She goes, Charlotte goes, me and my husband fuck a lot. Mm-hmm. She goes, we actually have great sex.
Yeah.
She goes, and you can't take that away from me. She goes, you've taken a lot of things away from me since I moved here. And then she starts rambling through things that, like, Winnie did not take.
Yeah.
You know, like, you took my independence and yeah. like all this stuff, and she just freaks out. She goes, and I'm in a prison of New Jersey, and she's like, and then Winnie's just like, whoa, she's like,
she tapped into some like all this like repressed rage
yeah.
that Charlotte has from like having to deal with like uprooting her life and yeah. moving to the suburbs,
and just like being, you know, just like the genuine stress, and like she hasn't really had, like, even though she has her girls, like they haven't really been there for her,
yeah,
because they're all doing with their own shit. And Winnie just maybe for a moment sees she's like, oh
she
my
sees
God.
Herself in Charlotte,
and
she's like, you know what, when I moved out here too,
I fucking hated my life. She yeah. goes, I literally thought about driving off like
a cliff,
many cliffs.
She's like, you know that lake that we live next to? She's like, I drove up to the pier. And
yeah.
it's like, I was going to drive off the
and
pier.
And Charlotte goes, me too. And they like have a moment. And yeah. they just like start talking. And they start getting real. And mm-hmm. Winnie realizes that like all Charlotte really wanted was just a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like she needed, like, because like Carrie, like whatever, she's limited.
Yeah.
But like she just needed someone that gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like and they start crying
yeah,
and they start
and they
like
hug.
And they hug. And then Winnie is like, oh my God, like, and I can totally give you a position. I purposely didn't give you one because
Charlie
hated you.
Like, I know.
I know. Because
you're it's okay. I forgive you.
I forgive you for being a heinous bitch.
And then they make out. They start making out. And the they fully come. Have like a they start making out in front of the gays, and the gays are like, whoa. Like, yeah. Whoa.
Whoa.
And then they're like, I guess we'll leave you girls to it.
Yeah.
Says Anthony. And then Charlotte and Winnie like fully fuck. They have like crazy lesbian coke sex. Meanwhile,
Miranda, Samantha is like just landed.
Yeah,
and she,
it's 6 a.m.
It's 6 a.m. And she's like, oh God. Like, you know, she gets off the plane and they're in Teterboro where all the,
yeah.
And she goes in the little like lobby of the nice regional airport, the private airport. And she's like about to call an Uber. And all of a sudden she sees sitting right there is Hologram Sam,
mm-hmm.
who's just like sitting in the lobby and there's like early morning news on. And,
yeah.
You know, one or two people like waiting, and Samantha sees her and she's like, I was so worried about you. And then Hologram Sam goes, I'm so sorry. And it's like kind of like a mom and her daughter. Almost.
Yeah.
It's like sort of like this. Samantha becomes like a parent in a way. Like she becomes.
She's like, I've never had to look after anyone except myself.
Except myself. And she goes, and you know what? I wouldn't
change it for the world.
Wouldn't change it for a second. And then Hologram Sam is just like, I just, you know, you gave me life. And like, I wanted to be part of your weird life. And like,
she's like being you is so amazing. Like, yeah. It's the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me.
And Samantha's like,
don't I know it?
Don't I know it?
And
she goes, and I just was so, I was so worried that I had to, you know, I had to prove myself to you, and I wanted to just be the best version of myself for you because I wanted you to love me and to keep me on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so worried that you were going to throw me away.
And then like, just when you think that they're like, they've solved the problem and Hologram Sam is like nice after all, then all of a sudden she just turns like a flicker in her eye and she starts to strangle Samantha, and she's like gripping her so hard, and Samantha's like choking,
and there's like,
to be choked out when,
and there's like a security guard, like getting something from the vending machine, and he looks over and he just like kind of quietly like,
yeah, he backs away, and like Samantha's eyes are starting to roll back in her head, and
life
it's
is
looking
draining.
Like it looks like curtains for her when suddenly the 25-year-old tech bro runs into the thing and like pushes like the off button on the hologram app.
He scrambles her,
yeah,
and she dies.
Yeah.
She shuts off.
And Samantha just drops to the ground.
Oh, and she hurt her neck, and he just like is like, oh my God, and he like cradles her.
Yeah.
And she's like looking up at him, and she's just like, well, you know,
that was
sometimes,
wild.
Yeah. She's like, I really killed myself, or like, you know, some like terrible pun, like,
yeah.
Sometimes you have to tango with yourself to come out on the other side. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you know, I guess this is not something we should roll out public. I guess we shouldn't go public yet, you know, with, you know.
Yeah. And she's he's like, seems like we have some tweaking to do. And she's like, I'll say.
And she goes, now, if you're up for a little...
She's like, honey, the last time I got choked...
Last time I was choked, like, it was under my own, like...
She's like, last time I choked, it was on your cock.
Yeah.
And, like, and then...
Last time I choked, it was on your cock, you know, like...
So then they're, like...
She's like, if you're up for a little breakfast, you know, excursion, like, I've got some girls to see, you know? Mm-hmm. So then she... They get, like, an Uber, and they, like, go and to... Montclair.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, it's like morning. Carrie's outside in the patio smoking a cigarette, and she's just like having a voiceover, like, you know, what just happened last night?
You know?
And then she's like sipping some coffee, like hasn't slept. The whole house is quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks and she sees Natasha just like gathering her. She gets, you know, Natasha like fell asleep on a couch, and she's like has like a cute little morning look.
Mm-hmm.
She's like wearing Lululemon, like somehow it's in this fabulous outfit, and she looks at Carrie through the window, and Carrie kind of turns with her head like the Sarah Jessica Parker kind of head flicker. Mm-hmm. She sees Natasha just puts her hand up and gives her like a quick
I honor you and I see you,
and Carrie nods, and then Natasha leaves.
That's it for them. Miranda, on the other hand,
oh my God, we forgot about Miranda. Fast forward or rewind.
Let's rewind. And I think I think the timing right now is like, it's 4:30 a.m. the Samantha's plane had lands, mm-hmm. all that. It's still dark outside. Yeah. She almost gets killed. The tech bros saves her. And then she's like, let's go to New Jersey. So they're off to New Jersey.
Yeah.
Natasha's like, I have a flight to catch, like, to get to LA in the morning, so I'm out. And then, like, it's 4:30. Carrie's still out smoking. Natasha's chic, and she, like, hands up and leaves. Then Miranda is, like, fully, like, things have really come to a head, and, like, there's, like, a full, like, a confrontation of the spirits. Like, Steve has come home with all the knowledge of the burial ground. He's like, and we have to get the fuck out of here. We have to get Brady. We have to get Magda.
As he's getting his things, all of a sudden you see a shovel hit him from the back of the head.
And he's down.
He's down. Bleeding. And he wakes up. Brady, Steve, Magda, and Aiden are all tied up.
Yeah.
And like they're in a cabin, and Miranda is like with a shovel.
Yeah.
Like, has not
fully
slept.
Possessed.
Has fully possessed by the evil of and like the, white horror.
Yeah. And Aiden whispers, he's like,
and Miranda's like, you made me do this. She's like, I did not want to do this. She's like, all I wanted was to find myself and to, you know, celebrate myself as my therapist told me. And then
and they're like, this is like, they know from their research, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Is like,
someone gets possessed. And then they murder everyone who's there.
Yeah.
It's like The Shining.
It's by sun up. Like
by sun
at sunrise, everyone dies.
Yeah.
So that's like written in like a different language on one of the rocks.
Yeah.
Said like, live, laugh, love, namaste, but it really says sunrise, everyone dies.
Everyone dies.
And so they have an hour and a half. They have 2 hours before the sun's rising.
So Steve is like, maybe like I can try to convince Miranda that she didn't need to better herself because she was already like, or she didn't need to like, no one's perfect.
No one's perfect. And then
Miranda, he says to her, he goes, but God damn it, you're pretty close, you know?
Yeah.
And Miranda's like, she's, you know, because Miranda, like, the thing that she's not realizing is that, like, she is the best character on this fucking show.
Yeah.
And everyone should aspire to be Miranda. And she doesn't need to, like, she always is trying to perfect, you know, reach
but
that equilibrium.
Already,
but she's already great. She's already fabulous. And she's already the breadwinner. And she's already, like, this fierce, amazing woman. And she doesn't need to, like, you know, have these crazy, like, self-actualized, like, campaigns for perfection because she's already a great mom and a great person and a great friend.
But the ghosts have caused it to where she's blinded to all
the ghosts.
Of that.
The ghosts
are in her body
of horror,
boiling,
you know,
little mouth baby is like
the patriarchy and like they've convinced her that she's not good enough still. And Miranda's like, I still, you know, and she's like,
you have a soft moment where like a tear rolls down.
But then,
you think there,
but then
she's
the
like,
tear rolls back into her eyes and then her eyes
her
turn
eyes
fully
go,
black and she goes,
no,
I can be perfect, you know, and then so then she
so
like,
then it's like, fuck, we're gonna die.
Magda's in like a little
Magda's then, but, not been with
but
us
while all this is happening, Brady has somehow untangled himself and he snuck away.
He got a cell phone and he has snuck it back. Sneaks it back, hands it to Aiden because they're like, Carrie's so selfish, like she's not gonna pick up a phone call from like me, Brady, or Steve or Miranda. But if Aiden calls, he knows that she'll pick
Aiden
up.
Aiden has a phone number.
Yeah.
Aiden and Carrie text.
Yeah. They've been in touch sometimes. Yeah. So
Aiden,
he calls Carrie and tells
while Miranda goes outside because she hears a noise.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God. You know,
she goes to go dig the grave that she's gonna
she's
go
digging the graves for the bodies.
Throw all the bodies in.
She's gonna like basically her plan is to just kill everyone and then just like set the whole thing on fire with her in it. Mm-hmm. Like that's like what she's
she's like
that's
this
her
is,
destiny.
This is the
she's
the
been
spirits,
having dreams about it.
Yeah, the spirits have told her like this is how it has to
sacrifice your, you know, kill your family and then burn yourself.
Yeah.
So then she's, you know, she's out digging away. And then Aiden. Meanwhile, we cut back to Montclair. Everyone's kind of like, the party's over, like everyone's like, oh, we should get Uber. You know, it's five in the it's like Thursday morning. You know, it's like so crazy.
Like, Charlotte's like, I gotta have the school run tomorrow.
Yeah. So Carrie is outside and she sees a car pull up and it's Big. He came. And then she sees a phone call coming and it's Big, as Big is walking in. She puts the phone on speaker and she sees it's Brady and she's like, she sees Big and she kind of puts a hand up like, 1 minute. You know, she puts the phone in the speaker and she goes, hello. And he goes, Carrie, it's Aiden. And then Big sees it and he like walks off.
Yeah.
And Carrie's like...
His driver, Raul, yeah. turns the car around yeah. and like he's gone.
The car somehow like came back into the patio. So it's yeah. like parked like through.
It's one of those houses yeah. where the driveway is just like so long. Well, it drives yeah. you wherever on the house.
But he hears that it's Aiden and he's like, oh my God.
No. And then Carrie runs after him and she's like, wait.
It's actually Brady. You know, so then yeah. she's like, what? Fucking fuck you, Aiden. And then he's just like...
He's like, are you on coke?
Are you on coke? And she goes, like, yes, I am. I did a lot of coke. And then Charlotte is like, who is that? And she goes, it's Aiden. And then she goes, give me that phone. And she grabs it. And she goes, Carrie is having, she has a great life with Big. And you're, stop trying to interfere with her life. Yeah. You always ruin everything. And
Leave her alone.
And she throws the phone on the side of the house and it shatters.
And then everyone's like, what just happened?
And then Charlotte goes, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, another car pulls up, and it's Samantha and Tech Bro in an Escalade.
Oh my God!
And
Samantha's like, get in because we're going to the Catskills.
And she goes, and they're like,
what? Why? She goes,
we got to go get our girl.
Yeah,
it's time for them to rescue Miranda.
Yeah.
So
the reason is that Samantha's like, I got a call from Aiden, and he let me know what's up.
And then Carrie's just kind of like, oh shit. So then she goes, and then they all get in the car, and Samantha goes, the gays.
Yeah, it's the gays. Charlotte, Samantha, Tech Bro,
and Winnie
comes along.
Winnie's like, sure.
She's like, this is exciting.
Yeah,
The nanny will do the school run.
Yeah.
It's fine. Carrie's in the car, and then she's like. Big is like, I can't believe you still take calls from that guy.
And then she goes, like, just get in the car.
Get over it. And so he does.
Yeah.
She's I can't believe you got the apartment in Natasha's building. But what are we going to do? We're all human. Get in the car.
So they start driving. to the Catskills.
Yeah. And Big's like, wants a bump. He's like, can I have a bump?
Yeah. And then they all start doing coke again.
They do some more coke. And they're
Samantha's like, wow, like been away for that long. And you come back and it's like 1989 again, you know? So then like, they're just having a great time. The Tech Bro is like, wow, old people are cool. You know? So
yeah.
And they're flooring up on the way. They see a flipped over car and it's Natasha.
I'm kidding. They see the flipped over car, it's Natasha, and Carrie's like, well, that bitch finally gets what she deserves. And everyone laughs.
Natasha's like dead.
Natasha's dead.
They're like chainsawing like the car, you know, she's dead.
Yeah.
And they all go like, ah. Yeah, they floor it all the way up. And then they all suddenly become very well versed in the folklore, and they know that like we have to get to like what's happened. Like we know our girl is like freaking
Aiden
out.
Mentioned something to Samantha. They have the whole car ride to like Google it and like do, and so they're up to speed on like these Native American spirits that have like
mind
possessed
you, they're on so much coke that they can't think to like call the local police.
No, they're like they're just like, we have to get there.
Yeah, they could basically call like a SWAT team because like a woman is about to murder her family.
Yeah, but they're like
no. So they're flooring it through, and there's like, you know, somehow they get up, they go floor up the Hudson Valley into upstate, and they're in the Catskills.
Yeah.
And
Carrie's like, God, this reminds me just like when Miranda freaked out when I was going to go to Paris.
And then they all go, shut the fuck up, Carrie. They all go, shut up, Carrie. You know?
Yeah.
And then maybe they don't. Do
no,
they?
They do.
They all go, fuck you. And then Charlotte goes, Carrie, shut the fuck up. You know? And then Carrie goes, okay.
And then they all laugh.
And then they all go, ha, 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 ha. And then they finally get to the gates of the camp. And they see, like, smoke. Like, the fire has already started. Like, Miranda's already, like, you know, 1/4 of the way into her master plan. And they go, oh, fuck. So they park the car and they realize they have to sneak in because, like, she is not in a good state.
No.
So, Miranda, she's still digging?
Yeah, she's just still digging. The sun is, like, it's light kind of outside, but the sun hasn't risen yet.
Yeah.
And they're like, we basically have 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, we have 20 minutes to get in here, to get out.
So, they all do one more line of coke.
Yeah.
And then they all, like, get, like, gear on. They all, like, have, like, Samantha got them all, like, matching, like.
Yeah. She's like, honey, and, like, pops the trunk, and it's, like, all these bags from Dior.
Yeah,
and, like, Max Mara and Versace. Yeah. And so then you have the moment where they all are walking in slow motion. Entire group of everyone.
They're all looking so good. Carrie's wearing, like a sheer, like, romper with, like, black bra, black panties, and, like, commando boots.
Yeah.
You know? And, like...
It's kind of, like, Ghostbuster-y.
They're just, like... appallingly chic, and then they're walking, and then they're like, oh my God, mud, you know, and they have to like,
yeah, they have to like sidestep it.
Yeah.
So they like finally get to like the place where Brady and Aiden and Steve
and Magda
are all tied up waiting to be murdered.
Yeah.
And they like untie them really quickly.
And they're like, you know, and they get Brady out and they, you know, they get Raul to take him back to the the car. And like, so Brady's safe.
They're like, Brady, run,
Brady, run.
The tech bro grabs Brady because he's like the fastest runner because he's the youngest. And so he just like runs back. Yeah.
Take him back, you know, and then they're like, we have to. And so, and then they, the three of them, like they help, they slap Magda up and she's like awake and she's like, she is possessed. It is not Miranda, you know, it's not her. And then the girls look at each other and they look at the guys and they go, we'll take it from here.
So they're like, you guys go.
Yeah, so they go and they go get
Miranda
and she's out furiously digging.
Her eyes are black as
night. Her eyes are black and she turns around and then she sees them and then they go, Miranda, and then she starts swinging the shovel at them.
Yeah. And then they're like, no.
Yeah. No, and the fire is starting, and Miranda's like, I just need to do this. And they're like, and then they go, no, you don't. And you don't have to do everything. Do less. You know?
Do less. You've done so much.
You've done so much. You've accomplished so much in your life.
You're the top lawyer.
Yeah, I can't even talk about it. They're like, you don't need external, you know, validation. Like, you already are amazing. Like, you're the best character in this fucking show. Like, you're the best friend. Like, blah, blah, blah.
And they're like, what scares you the most is you should be scared of yourself right now.
Yeah.
And then, like, Miranda has a moment of clarity, but then she is possessed, obviously.
Yeah.
So, like, it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
And then you think, like, Miranda's gonna, like, kill them, or she's, like, too far gone to be saved. And Samantha boots up Hologram Sam again, who's now just, like, a vicious, like, totally out of control AI. And Hologram Sam just tackles Miranda.
Yeah.
And, like, slams her on the ground.
She takes her hair and just beats her, like, slams her head repeatedly into the soil. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Miranda starts coughing and she goes, and she coughs up that black ink.
Black ink into Hologram Sam's mouth.
Yeah.
She's like, and then swallows it.
Yeah.
And she's like, and she has a moment where it's like, she kind of sits up dazed and she's like, I haven't swallowed a load like that since 1973.
Yeah.
And then Samantha hits the button and sucks Hologram Sam back into the machine.
Yeah. And then Miranda's just like, what? You guys! And then they all hug and they kiss and they're like all so happy to be with each other. And then they toss.
The sun rises
and there's a fire.
It's so beautiful.
And they realize like they have to let the place burn because it's a place of pure hell.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miranda holds the USB in her hand, the drive, and she just looks at it and then she just tosses it into the flame.
Yeah.
And you hear like, you know, like the screams of thousands of horror souls and demons. Mm-hmm. Like, dying in the fire.
Escaping into, like, the atmosphere.
Yeah, that she sets everyone free.
Yeah, she sets them free.
She rids the land of, like, this generational need for, you know, perfection.
Yeah.
Unrealistic perfection.
Mm-hmm. And as, like, certain spirits, like, waft out and they see them, it's like, they see, like, these women that are dressed, like, pretty chicly in, like, pilgrim clothes and carry. And, like, they all have, like, kind of a fashion moment where they're, like,
they're, like, hey.
And
then they start, like, and you hear, like,
are those boots Prada?
And then they,
like, release the spirits. And they all feel really good about themselves.
Yeah. And then it ends with them at the diner.
At the diner. They're, like, should we go to brunch?
Let's go to brunch.
Let's go to brunch.
And then Samantha goes, it's on me, honeys. You know?
And so then they're at the diner just laughing and like the shot pulls away and then the theme music comes in and that's the movie.
Yeah. You hear that Earth, Wind, and Fire song, like, dun, 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 on and on, dun, dun, in September, on and on, dun, 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 dun. Isn't that the song that ends the movie?
No.
What is that?
The song that ended the movie, I thought...
To being 50 and fabulous, and then it's...
I thought the song... Oh, maybe it's the end of the show where it's like, sometimes I feel like my hands are
in
the air.
You got the love.
You got the love I need to see me.
Candy Stanton. Yeah. Candy Stanton.
You got the love.
You've got the love. You've got the love. And then it just like pulls out into the clouds, and then that's it.
That's it.
And then you see a flash of Hologram Sam. Oh my God.
Wow, I love this movie.
I love this movie.
Yeah, I'm in.
That was like a full length of a movie.
That was a full length of a movie.
But like knowing Sex and the City, it would be like 3 hours.
Yeah, it would be 3 hours.
I love that.
I love it. And you know, some people may think the Native American stuff might be problematic, but I would urge them to see the Sex and the City 2 movie again, where they were completely problematic about Middle Eastern culture.
The word, like, the they managed to and offend so every group of people.
Every group of people.
In the history offended. Of ever.
Yeah.
Like, everyone that you can imagine.
Yeah.
Thank
I love
you.
That. Thank you so much.
I feel drained.
I feel drained. I'm sweating, but it's a good
sweat. My heart is racing.
Mine too.
And
this was just a dream come true.
Thank you so much for having me. Forgive us, everyone.
Forgive us. Let us know. Or let us know if you like it.
Let us know if you like it.
You can tweet me at Lars Marie, or you can tweet Carrie at eCarrie-O.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.